All right, well, it's time to get started. Well, we actually have about what I thought we'd have. The rain here has got everyone scared away. I guess before we get started, there's a couple things I want to tell you guys. First of all, next week, we will not be having regular Bible study. The high school is putting on the play Fiddler on the Roof. And Zeidel and the matchmaker are sitting right here. So I will be up there watching them, and you guys are invited to go up there and watch them too. It's at the high school. It starts at 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock. So you guys are welcome to come up to the high school and watch the high school play Fiddler on the Roof. It is a shortened version of it. I did see that. So it's not the full four-hour movie, you know. It is a high school version. So we won't be having our normal Bible study, but we'll have that. The next thing is I didn't finish the... Normally, I have a devotional throughout the week after the Bible study, and I just didn't get it done in time. I'll be putting that out via the Message app. We have our church app, and there's that message section that's up in the right-hand corner. It looks like a little text box, and then we have the group that's called Tuesday Night Gathering. Or you can go to the website and go to... Communities, and it'll say Group Finder under Communities, and when you go to Group Finder, then you can click on Tuesday Night Gathering, and either join the group or view it, and once you've signed in, and you can see the messages there, and I will be putting the devotional out via the Message app. As well as, and you can pass this on to all the people that aren't here because of the rain, I will be also putting out a summary of today's lesson, just a short summary, not the full thing. I won't put out all my notes because you guys weren't making sense of it, but a short summary so that people that aren't here can view that as well. So pass the word on for about those three things, okay? For all the people that aren't here, pass that on. And just, you know, the group message is just the best way for me to contact you guys. I know you might be thinking, well, I use the text message, but this person likes, email, and this person likes the phone call, and this is like, we'll just say, this is where we're going to go for it. So we're not playing that game of trying to figure out where everyone would prefer, because it's just too much. So we'll just say everyone, the best place to talk is in the message. All right. That being said, let's go on to chapter 16 of Genesis. Now, today we're talking about the Hagar incidents, well, the first of the Hagar incidences in Genesis, and we probably will not finish with this section today, but we're going to start on the section. We'll probably get about halfway through it today. Sound good? All right. So as what we've been doing, let's go ahead and read the passage, and then I'll start going through it, okay? So, Genesis chapter 16, 1 through 16. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, who had been borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So, Sarai said to Abram, "Now, Behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After that, Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. Abraham's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. Now he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had been conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight," or cursed in her sight. "May the Lord judge between you and me." But Avram said to Sarah, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarah treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord of Yahweh found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, He said, "Sarai, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child. You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in the east, east with all of his brothers." And so, I don't know why I went back to chapter 1, but let's keep going. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees me." For she had said, "Have I even remained alive after seeing him?" Therefore, the well was called Beer Lo Rohi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Avram a son, and Avram called the name of his son who Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael to him. There's a lot in here, isn't there? Not only are we seeing an 86-year-old giving child, which is something of a feat, but we're seeing someone treated really, really poorly. Hagar is treated really poorly in this passage. Let's go back. It says, now, Sarai. Now, remember, what's Sarai mean? Princess, that's right. My princess. Queen of the world. She's a queen. She's a princess. And what did Avram mean? Yeah, what did Avram mean? Av means father. So Avram is exalted or highly lifted up father. So you got the princess and the highly exalted father. So like king and queen language there. Now, Sarai was the wife of Avram and did not had not given birth to him. When's the last time? We've been told this before, haven't we? When was the last time this was mentioned? Do you guys remember? I mean, I know it's like, what chapter? I don't know. It was back that way. It was back in chapter 11. So the first thing we know about her in this passage is something we already know. We're not told anything new. She's not able to give birth. Now, I do think it's interesting. In this passage, she blames God for it. She's blaming God for it. But it's bringing it back into the fold. Now, there's a reason for this. It's because, one, it's the major issue that we're seeing here. But it's also, remember, we're in a medley here. Remember, we're in a pattern repeating Genesis 1 through 11 over and then over again and then over again. Well, we're back into a chapter, we're into chapter 3, and so we're going to need this kind of motif, this childbearing thing to be in on our minds. Because the seed is very much on the mind in that motif. So she has not given him birth, which in that society would have been a major slight on you. You know, that's what you were there for. And here you can't do your job. You know, and that's, and some people even today think that way. So it's very harsh when people can't have children or whatnot, but that society would have been very much that's what you're there for and you can't do it. That comes into play. But she says, so it's been 20 years since she's been first promised a child. That's a long time to wait. When we get tired waiting, you know, 20 minutes, that's right. 20 minutes, we're like, God, you told me that it was going to stop raining. And now it's been raining for 20 minutes. That's too much. You know, you said, not 20 years. What are you talking about? God, I don't think I trust, you know. And we can blame Abraham for his lack of trust. But realistically, doesn't he just mirror us? I mean, how many of us would have the faith to wait 20 years for something? And he was just told in the last passage, oh, yeah, by the way, for you to get the land, it's going to be 400 years, you know. You know? And we're like, 400? Next year's too far away. About 400 years. So, I mean, we can blame Abraham for it. But it, like I said, it's really just a mirror of our own selves. He's wanting to, they're wanting this promise to be filled, and they're starting to feel like, well, are we supposed to be doing something to get this to come about? Well, God said it was going to happen. Are we supposed to be doing it? Is there something we're not doing? And how many times do we do that ourselves, right? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing? What did I do wrong, you know? Or we see something bad happens, and we're like, oh, God, what did I do? And it's like, you know, and God's answer may be, nothing. This is just life. Or God, it's just not time yet, you know, for Ishmael, you know. But and so there's a lot going on here. We can blame him for this, but there's really just, he's mirroring what we would all be thinking. Why? What am I supposed to be doing? What did I do wrong? Or why not? What's going on? So she had not given birth, but you know what? There's this slave girl. She's an Egyptian. And her name is the immigrant. Hagar. Ha means the. Gar means person who's not born in this country. The immigrant. So she's an immigrant. So the immigrant. in the previous chapter, when God says to Abraham, your seeds will become immigrants in the land that is not their own, it's the same word, gar. It's the same word. So, saying, here's this, I have this immigrant, this one who's not from here. And where did she come from? That's right. Hagar came when they were in Egypt, and Avram schemed, and he behaved like the snake, and he got, and well, you tell him you're my sister, Sarai, because you're beautiful, and we'll work out the scheme so we can get stuff. Oh, oops, we didn't know Pharaoh was going to be involved. And then Pharaoh gets, you know, like a vision or an ED or whatever happens there. He's told, and then it's like, get out of here and throw them away. Take all this stuff with you and take the dowry with you. And so one of the people, one part of that thing, we often think of gold, but part of it was in this society, slaves was a very real thing. And possessions and women slaves was part of their possession. If we put our morality back on it, you're like, that was so wrong. And I do believe it was wrong. But at the same time, we have to be careful what we do with the past. We dialogue with it. We cannot put our morality back on the past. This is not how it works. So, part of their, you know, get out of Egypt was slaves. And so along with that was this female Egyptian slave whose name means the immigrant. And and interesting enough, that was, remember how we're working through the melody of or the pattern of Genesis 1 through 11. Last time we were in Genesis chapter 3 was that moment when Avram was the snake. Now we've worked our way back to Genesis chapter 3 in the pattern. You went through it all the way once, and now we're back to, we had 1 and 2. And now we're back into chapter 3, and so we're seeing another snake arise. We'll see if you could pick her out. So that was back in chapter 12. Now we're back in chapter 3, and so we're having again. And so we have this slave who was acquired, and the last time people behaved like snakes. Now, and so behave like deceit and treachery. And so we have this ownership of this Egyptian girl, and her name was Immigrant. And Sarah said to her, now, the Lord, Yahweh, that's what it says, Yahweh, has prevented me from bearing children. It's God's fault. God did it. If he wanted me to have children, he would. God's, so she, we already see this, what we're seeing there in that statement is maybe a little bit of truth. She can't have child. I mean, God has got a plan. There's something going on. But we also see some separation between her and God at that statement. You know, she's blaming God for something she desires. There's a little bit of separation there. God did it. We see the same thing when we blame, like, you know, your child, right? How many times have you said that to someone, you know, your spouse? Your kid. Not my kid. Your kid. We're separating ourselves from them. Yahweh has kept me from bearing children. There's a little bit of separation there. Not still acknowledging him, still, you know, on his team, I should say, but there's some animosity there. Yahweh, I'm infertile because of him. Hasn't given a seed yet. So here she says, so God hasn't given me a seed, but I've got a plan. I've got a plan. I've got a scheme. Now all of a sudden, Sarai is acting like the snake. Last time we were there in Genesis chapter 12, Avram is the snake. Now Sarai is having her snake moment. She's the one crafting this plan, being cunning and crafting this plan. Sarai, yeah. So go into my slave girl. Perhaps I can build up by means of her. I will obtain a child to her. Now, there's, if you are reading in the Hebrew, our English say something like, perhaps I'll have a child to her or whatever. In the Hebrew, it reads like a building project. There's architectural world to build up in there. The only time that words like that have been used so far have been in building projects. Can you think of some of the building projects that have been in the scripture so far? Babylon, that's a great one. Nimrod was there with his building project, right? Babylon. How about before that? The Tower of Babel, yeah. The Ark, there you go. There's a building project there. How about Cain's City? The first building project in the scriptures happens in Genesis chapter 2. God splits Adam, the human, and he takes one of man's sides, the word there, side. We often say the word rib, but it's the word there is side, and it's the word used often for like the side of the temple or the side of the house or the side of the, it's a building, it's a architectural word. And he took one side and made or built woman from man, built Isha from Ish. So the first building project is the Ezer delivering help story. So he made into a woman. So he made, and so what we can look back, on the building projects, we can see when God builds things, he builds Eden gifts. The ark. It's a little Eden, protection, tabernacle. Woman, it's an Ezer, it's a helper. That deliverer speak kind of word. But when man builds, we're trying to make our own Eden images, cities. Develop cities and things that are false Edens. So there's a contrast of building projects that God gives and the building project of human beings. And so when she says, perhaps I can build up by means of my slave. I can be built up by my slave. She's trying to capture that Eden motif. God's in the family, in the habit of building families. But now she's trying to capture that motif, that Eden motif, for herself and build it herself. And so we know if humans are going to build it, it's going to be a false Eden. It's not going to be a true. So I've got this building project idea, and we're going to build a family, but it's a building that with an idea that I have, and it's going to involve a slave, and we're going to do something that isn't asked of us to do. We've been asked to trust and obey, and here Avraham's been asked to trust and obey, and she's got this scheme. We're going to do it on our own. We're going to build on our own. Yeah, but like I said, it's been 20 years. So this is a very much a reflection of how we would be feeling too. I mean, maybe I haven't done, can you imagine just thinking, it's been 20 years. Maybe I'm supposed to do it this way. Maybe God's just waiting on me to do something. You know, it's not, I mean, we can't blame, I mean, Sarai is in the wrong here. But it's hard for me to blame her for taking actions when we can very much feel that that's something we might want to do ourselves. Well, he just kind of sits back and he mirrors Adam in that story in Genesis chapter 3 as well. Remember, we're in that Genesis chapter 3 motif. What does Adam do in Genesis chapter 3? He just kind of takes it. Keeps his mouth shut. Avram is kind of repeating that same kind of mentality. He just kind of, whatever you want, Sarai, you do what you do what you want to do. Which is not what the scripture is saying, but she made me do it. So Sarai, the wife of Aram, took Hagar, the Egyptian slave, and this was the end of the 20 years they'd been in Canaan, and she gave Abram her husband. So let's do this building project ourselves. And so he goes into the immigrant, and she becomes pregnant. And when she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress, this translation says despised in her sight. The word there is cursed. The same word as cursed. Hagar becomes the object of Avram's pleasure. Remember, in this society, if a woman is not doing her job, it's looked down upon, you know, not having a child. And so now Hagar is being lifted up above Sarai. Now, Sarai is the princess. She's not going to take to this very kindly. It's hard for us to think about these kind of things because we're from a monogamous culture. We're not a polygamous culture. We're not in a patriarchal society, but not like there were. In that society, male, land, and possession, that's what the center of it is. So he can build wealth and family through her as one of his possessions, and she's going to become one of his wives. However, this is not the ideal. What was the ideal? Genesis 2:24. You guys can flip through that. Flip back there. It's okay. You don't have to have it all memorized. I know. I don't have the whole Bible memorized. How dare you not have the whole Bible memorized? Genesis 2:24. What's it say? That's right. That's why a man leaves his father and mother, bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. The image of God is made with two becoming one flesh. Male and female, they become one. That's the Eden ideal. We don't see the multiple wives things till Genesis chapter 4 when Lamech, who's built himself a false Eden, who's taking himself, if God can, you know, if God will will protect Cain seven times, well, I'm seven times seven, I take my vengeance, you know. So Lamech takes two wives for himself. And so he's collecting women like property. One of them named Jewel and one of them named Shelter. He creates his own little false Eden. And so we're seeing that being the image of that we're going through here. So when we have, let me see if I can put this all on one slide. There we go. Yeah, it's a lot smaller, but you can see it. I don't have to click back and forth. So we get, every time there's more than one wife involved in a story, something bad is happening. There's not something like, oh, he had two wives and it was all hunky-dory. And that will be the thing that leads to the downfall of the nation. That will, I mean, so every time it happens, it's every time there's multiple wives in the picture, you're going to see something negative happen. It's not the Eden ideal. It's not what's supposed to happen. It's always supposed to be just one. Yep. Oh, Bathsheba.
Even with her, it wasn't that he had a relationship with another woman, he had a harem, it was that he had another man's wife.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been a negative. It's always been, ever throughout the scriptures, it's a negative thing. And whenever it is. And so, Sarai and Avram, they're building a building project that's right from the premise of it, is not the Eden ideal. They're building a false Eden. They're going to build their family, but it's not. It's through this slave. And now, because she has a child, she now becomes the wife of the patriarch. And so, now that she's pregnant, her master, female master, Sarai, is like, whoa, you can't be over me. But Hagar is elevating herself over Sarai. Now, God has chosen Princess and exalted father to be the chosen ones. He's entered an agreement with them. This is not his plan. This is a sinful action. But now you have the oppressed one who's trying to oppress and gain power over Sarai. And it's not saying Hagar is evil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, as humans, we want security. We want security. We want to be taken care of. We want blessing. We want our Eden. We want Eden. Especially for our children, but for all ourselves. You know, we're just, that's the way we are. We want Eden. We want to be taken care of. We want security. We can grab it in sinful ways, or we can wait for God to give it to us, but we want that security. And here we've got a couple who are willing to treat someone as expendable, Avram and Sarai. They're treating Hagar as she's expendable to get their little Eden. But Hagar herself also wants her security, and she wants a blessing. And so now she's got this pregnancy that she can lord over Sarai. And so she's using her now pregnancy to oppress her oppressors because she wants security. It's ugly. This is a very ugly portrait of everyone involved here. Very predictable pattern of human behavior. because we all like security. We all like Hagar wants to be starts oppressing as soon as she can. So, as soon as she has the opportunity, she starts saying she's the boss, and she's the victim, but she's also starts causing, as the victim starts saying, well, I'm not the victim anymore, I'm going to victimize you, Hagar does. So there's a lot of dynamic in the story that, Sarai even says to Avram, look at the violence that's being done to me. Look at this violence happening in our own family. Of course, she's at that time pretending like she had nothing to do with this. Hey, you did this. I didn't come up with this plan at all. Very Genesis chapter 3, right? It was not my fault. It was, well, God, if you had made me have a child, then I wouldn't have done this. So it's your fault, God. So very much in this kind of mentality. So look at this violence that's being done to me. She says, may the violence that is being done to me be done to you, Avram. So Avram and Sarai are splitting apart over this. Absolutely. And so now I became cursed in her eyes. May Yahweh play judge between me and you. Judge, they're splitting over this. Let God judge between the two of us. So she's bringing Yahweh into the whole thing, using Yahweh to underwrite her twisted plan, building plan. And she's obviously thinking that Yahweh is on her side, right? We're the blessed ones, so Hagar must be wrong, or Avram must be wrong, but anyone but me is wrong. And Avram's response is very much, hey, it's your slave. You do what you want. No protection for her, no standing up for her, hey, she's not my wife. Like, hey, I didn't want this plan to begin with. You're the one that brought this up. Do what's good. And I love this. Do what's good in your eyes. Every time we do what's right in our eyes, what's tov in our eyes, is definitely not what's tov in God's eyes. She starts to oppress, be mean to Hagar, and Hagar flees from her. Like, hey, let's leave. And this is a real honest look at human nature. It's uncomfortable, but it's very real. All right. Now, I've put several charts in the app in the notes section. Let's go through those a little bit. I think we're going, before we go on to, what are we on, chapter verse 7? I think before we go on to verse 7, we'll have to wait till next time we meet. But we can see, because we're in this pattern, we can see some things happening here that we need to be aware of. Can you see all the Genesis chapter 3 stuff that's happening here? Well, there's a whole chart of stuff here. Sarah and Eve. Doesn't trust the divine promise, comes up with an alternative plan to secure seed for herself. Hagar and the tree of knowing good and bad. Hagar, through no fault of her own, was given to the family by Pharaoh. Now she finds herself both desire for Sarah as a surrogate womb and for Abram for sexual pleasure. Hagar's existence presents Avram and Sarah with a test of faith. Will they trust God or provide the children from their own bodies, or they will use their own plans? And obviously they fail. So Avram and Adam, both passive figures. So we see this story repeating itself. I wanted to point this out because we keep seeing this story repeat itself. And it's important. I think so often we have read the scriptures as like a narrative, which is perfectly okay and good. You know, like it's a story. And it's written that way. It's a story. There's a narrative to it. This happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. But it's more than just a story, because there's the same repetitive patterns that we're supposed to learn from. They're the same ideas, and there's the differences, and that helps us apply it to our own lives, because we can start seeing how sometimes we may be the tree, or how sometimes we may be the ones who take and see what's good, or we may be the snake, and we can start seeing how different ways that pattern plays out in our own lives as we go through this. It's hard to see this picture of Avram, though, who got accounted to himself as every righteousness in the last passage, and now he's Adam again, failing in the garden. So it is hard to see that, and like I said, you can see that chart on the scriptures in your app for more, if you want to go through it more in detail. It's quite a chart. But there's also not just links to Genesis chapter 3 in there. There's links to Genesis chapter 4 in there. And we have some things that we can see. Like Genesis chapter 4, we have the rivalry of the two brothers. Well, now we have two women, the slave and the princess, two wives. We have this rivalry happening, and one does violence on the other, and one flees. In the first story, she's dead. Cain kills Abel. This time, she just flees. So we have this rival wife and story. So we see this whole hyperlink to Genesis chapter 4. And like the first thing that is said, and I'll probably bring this up next week as well. Not next week, because we're going to be watching a play next week, the week after. In chapter 6, the first thing God says to Cain is, "Hey, where is your brother?" Well, the first thing he says to Hagar after she flees is, "Where are you going?" There's this correlation there with this, like, hey, where, and of course we see that in Genesis chapter 3 as well. Where are you, Abraham? Adam, we have this kind of, Genesis chapter 4, the sound of your brother's blood has crying out to me. Well, Ishmael, because Yahweh has heard your oppression. There's a hearing aspect in there. So we see this linking here to Genesis chapter 4 as well. So we're not only recovering Genesis chapter 3, we're covering Genesis chapter 4 as well. But we're also linking to images in Genesis chapter 6. Because in Genesis chapter 6, now a lot of this we haven't talked about, but we have the sons of Elohim and the daughters of humanity, and they are good, and they take for themselves violence be done to me. So there's a very much a bloodshed and violence kind of act oppression and violence kind of motif that's going on here in Hagar. And if you're looking at the chart, the second one there, Sarah is called the mistress. Now, this is the word Givorah, which is the female version of Giborim. Now, remember what Giborim was? Remember we covered that. Does anyone remember that one? Mighty warrior, right? It's the female form of that, Givorah. So the one who's spreading violence upon the land is the mighty warrior who is spreading violence. Now you got the Giborah, the mistress, the woman who is spreading violence on the land. So, you know, the stuff about Genesis 3 is pretty obvious. It stands out really well. And then we have 4 and 6 also bound up in this whole story. And so there's a crisis going on here, and it's and this is playing out here. So we're going to have to see what happens here. So that's all happening all right here. We definitely don't have time to go on to the next section. So let's say, does anyone have any questions about this? There's a lot of material right there. So let's ask questions and see where we're at. That was just 16, 1 through 6. We haven't done 7 through 16 yet. So you have this scheme that between two, and there's a rival wife thing going on here, and violence being done upon the land, and you have pregnancy, which is going to affect even us today, and you have a woman who has fled. Now that's where we're leaving off, is she is running into the desert. Anything any of you guys want to, any comments? Nope, you guys are good? All right, go process that. We'll talk about the one God who hears our cry and the God who sees me next time we meet. Now remember, next week we're going to be at the high school. We're not canceling, we're just moving it to the high school because we're watching a play. It's a play, yeah. That's next week, so. It's next Tuesday. It doesn't affect martial arts anyways. Martial arts on Wednesday. Oh, yeah. So. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and then we will come back to this section where we're talking about 7 through 16 next week. And like I said, I will put out a devotional on the message app for those of you who want it. You guys came in late. Those of you guys who came in late, I'm going to, remember, if you can go to LaughlinChurch.com, group finder, and sign in, and you'll be able to access it through there. Or you can go to the app and the group messaging up in the right-hand corner. I will put out the devotional through that because I didn't quite get it finished this week, and it might be the way we do it. I'm also going to put out a summary of what we talk about today. I couldn't do a summary before today because I didn't know where we were going to get to. So I'll put up a summary. The fill-in notes are in there, in the fill-in notes section, but the devotional is going to be put out. I just didn't get to it. Just be real. I was working on something else and didn't get to it. All the policies. I was writing policies for our church. We're going to be having a business meeting in about 4 weeks now. Two trustees have put some more policies that we're going to put in place. You guys, the members, will be able to receive copies of that. Well, that'll come into place later. But so I just didn't get to the devotional. But I'll put that out tomorrow. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing. Lord, we thank you for the rain, Lord. Lord, I pray with those who couldn't be here today because of the rain, but Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless us as with this rain, and just we lift you up, Lord. I praise you for as we fall in love with your scriptures, Lord, that we just dive deep and hold on to it and go at whatever level we're at as we pray that we see the humanness in the scriptures, but we also see your word, and we look for your wisdom as we seek in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.